Cults, New Age Movement, Part 3. This one, I'm going to go a little fast through some of it so we can have time, Lord willing, to see some of the videos. I found the video that one of them that you've seen a long time ago, which is what Oprah says and what Eckhart Tolle talks on Oprah. But then I found something dealing with Scientology. I think you'll be interested in the way it's done. So we'll see that as we get to it. Let's start with a prayer, and then let's get into the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for the privilege we have of coming together with fellow believers. Thank you that we have the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that He paid for sin, and He rose again, and He gives eternal life to all who believe that He indeed is the Savior, and it's simply by faith. We have the Word of God, the revelation given from you to men that we could take and know and apply and live out in our lives, that we have the greatest truth of all. And so, Lord, we just ask you that as we study, as we prepare, to be ready, first of all, to know what we believe and why, and then to be ready to give an answer to others for the hope that is within us. Teach us, Lord, as we continue our study of New Age and cults and all these different things. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to look there just for a little bit because it's dealing with the second coming of Christ. And if you know a lot of the New Age stuff, it's dealing with the coming of the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, that kind of thing. And so we're continuing our study of the cults. We're a pretty detailed study on different groups that have teaching contrary to the Word of God. We're in now the Part 3 of the New Age movement, and it's a mixture of humanism and pantheism all in the same thing. For the last several weeks, we've looked at this cult that has all kind of different worldview, and it's much different than biblical Christianity. But the goal ultimately of this group, even though they're all loose, and sometimes not, they don't even know they're connected, but they are, it's one government, one economy, one religion, one world order, to stop crime and have peace and no war, stop disease, stop terrorism, harmony between man and all this. In fact, if you remember that newspaper article that from the guy, the full page USA Today, his goal is to have no crime and to bring peace and to stop war and all those kind of things. The truth is that will happen, but it will happen when Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as the Prince of Peace. So that's going to happen one day. The New Age view is a little bit different. It's all over. Here's a magazine called Aspire Magazine, and it's talking about working out, but here in this working out article, right beside the workout article, here's an advertisement. Satisfying a deep hunger. Videos to enhance your body, mind, and spirit by Deepak Chopra. Quantum healing toward perfect health. And of course, it's Zen. And he's got a diet program, then Zen Buddhism, then he's got free Voices of a New Age. Our gift to you when you order all three videos above for only $69.85. Narrated by Richie Havens, this program features the spoken wisdom of today's foremost spiritual teachers. And then he begins to. David Spangler is one of them. That's the guy I've been quoting some. So it's everywhere. You have to be, when I say, you just kind of watch for it because it is everywhere and you just don't know exactly what these people are saying or doing. We begin today, and what we're going to do is do four things. We're going to talk about what about salvation? What do they mean when they say salvation in man? We're going to talk about some dangers of the New Age movement. We're going to look at some specific people and organizations. That's actually what we're going to do second. I'm going to switch them around, but we're going to look at specific people and organizations of the New Age movement, and then we're going to talk about how do you witness to these people. So that's the things we'll do. Revelation 19, verse 11. Look what we see. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Who could it be that is on the white horse who is called Faithful and True? Didn't Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? That's him. There's him coming. His eyes are a flame of fire. What do you think that means? His judging. And his head are many diadems. You know what that means? They're crowns. On his head are many crowns. Now, picture that. Tell me what you're picturing. Do you picture him one crown or a bunch of crowns? Do you picture a bunch of crowns all over? Do you picture a long, big bunch of crowns all stacked up? How do you picture it? It says on his head are what? Diadems. It didn't say one crown. Many. He has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. I've taught this before. Remember, I've had people say, what is that name? And you go, no sense even trying to figure it out, right? No one knows that himself. I read in a book one day, the guy said, I know the name, and he was writing it down. I said, there's no possible way that person could know the name. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. How come it's dipped in blood? I think it's a twofold picture. One is the blood that he has shed for our sins, and number two is the blood that he's fixing to shed on the earth for all these unbelievers who are in rebellion against him as he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's clothed with a robe of blood, robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which are in heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. Who's that? That's most likely us. And we're going, go ahead. You go right on ahead. We'll be right over here on our little horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword. You think it'd be a literal sword coming out of his mouth? Is it a little horse? You think it's a real white horse? Do you think he has many crowns on his head? Do you think a sword's going to come out of his mouth? Which part is spiritual and which part is literal? Do you think when it says the sword came out of his mouth, that is a symbolic way of saying he's going to come to judge with the word? It's possible. He strikes down the nations. He will rule with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's, he's coming. And you know what he does? He comes and he sets up a kingdom. If you notice chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 4, look what this says. This is Jesus coming and he set up a kingdom. It says, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast nor his image, they had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and they reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. And if you look in the passage of Revelation chapter 20, it says 1,000 years in verse 2. It says 1,000 years in verse 3. It says 1,000 years in verse 4. It says 1,000 years in verse 5. It says 1,000 years in verse 6. It says 1,000 years in verse 7. Do you think it's 1,000 years? What do you think? Oh, no, no, no. It's symbolic. It just means a long time, right? No, it means 1,000 years. He'll rule in righteousness and justice. So this is Jesus coming. If you go to Matthew 24:25, it says, lightning flashes from the east and spreads to the west, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He'll come and every eye will see him. When Jesus Christ comes, there will not be an ad in the paper. Just remember that. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will see him. Every eye will see him. It's just amazing. And so what we've got is you've got a New Age movement which teaches that there is a Lord Christ called Lord Maitreya. This is Benjamin Cream's main idea, and he's pushing this, and a lot of the other New Agers are, that one day there's a person coming on this earth who's going to be a person, but he is going to be the Christ, and he is going to rule the world, and he's going to bring peace and all of these things. Now, who does this sound like? First of all, it sounds like our Christ, but they say he's here now. Who could it be? It's really the Antichrist. Because, see, when the Antichrist comes, after we're gone off the face of the earth, and there's the peace pact made with the nation of Israel, it's going to be made with a man, which is called the man of sin. He's the Antichrist. He comes to power. He comes out of a 10-king federation. 3 kings come out of the 10 kings. 1 king comes out of the 3 kings. That's who he is. You see this in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation. He becomes the ruler of the world. People think he brings peace. In fact, as the book of Revelation tells us, when he starts his life and ministry, he brings peace to the world. People think this is the right one. Israel makes a peace pact with him. Halfway through the tribulation time period, that peace pact, what does he do? He claims to be God, puts his idol up in the temple, and so that's who he is. Now, what we're actually seeing is that when these New Agers are all looking for someone to bring peace, they're not looking for our Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're really looking for an Antichrist. They don't even know it, most of them don't. All they think is there's going to be a time of peace on the earth, and they're so fooled and so mixed up, and they've rejected the truth of the Bible, those kind of things. It's so funny, they reject the truth of the Bible, but they want to call him the Christ, you know. And they want to, you know, do all of those kind of things. As we look at this New Age movement, there is sort of the thing there that God is all is God, man is God. Remember? Everything is one, monism. Everything is God, pantheism. Therefore, we're God. That's their thing. They just want you to realize that you're God. There's a spiritual, this new spiritual awakening in our country, but it's not biblical spirituality. It's yoga and transcendental meditation, and horoscope and fortune telling and channeling, reincarnation and all this New Age movement stuff. Now, we said that when we talked about the New Age movement, the three big areas that we've been dealing with, just as we've been dealing with every other cult, is what do they say about the Bible, Jesus Christ, and salvation? Now, the last couple of weeks, we talked a little bit about the Bible and Christ. Let me remind you of this. As far as the Bible is concerned, they believe that there is a continuing revelation, that they're getting the revelation. That there's extra-biblical revelation, that there are prophets and they're God with us, and there's Chandlers and Benjamin Kring who says he actually speaks for the Christ. And so if you said the Bible is God's revelation, they'd say, well, it's probably some revelation, but that's not all revelation. There's all other revelations out there, and we're getting new revelation anyway. So when you go to the Scripture and you find that the Scripture says don't add to or take away from and those kind of things, that's what they're really doing. So first of all, it doesn't match Scripture, of course. Second is, what do they say about Christ? And we know that what they say about Christ is, that Jesus, we say Jesus Christ is God, they'd say that's okay because everything's God. Everybody's God. Everything's pantheism. All is God and God is one. The universe is God. The creation is God. The Christ is just a spirit manifestation of God that has appeared throughout history. It was in Hercules, Buddha, Krista, even Christ. And today it's in one called Lord Maitreya and possibly Buddhist, in a Buddhist God. Who knows? Who knows what it all is? One day he will set up a world system. Yeah, he will. But he's not Jesus Christ. We said last time that when Jesus comes, there's no paper. Lightning flashes the east to the west. Third, what do they say about salvation? Well, the truth is this. There's no place for sin in the New Age movement because there's no rights or wrongs. I mean, in a sense, everything is right. Man is good. Man is divine. Divine's on the inside. The thing that man needs to do is to be transformed. And how does man get transformed? Man gets transformed because he realizes he's God. That's been the problem with the whole thing. We just don't realize we're God. We need transformation. We realize that we got to get in touch with ourselves. Shirley MacLaine, mankind and all life is basically good. We ascend until we reach the pinnacle of that which life is spent to build, the temple of the perfected man. That's Shirley MacLaine, because she's God. She believes she's God, and she believes everybody's God, that God's in everybody. And what's wrong with us? We just haven't recognized that God's within us. That we're all actually God. That everything is God. Benjamin Cream said one of the major teachings of the Christ is that God is in all creation, in mankind. There's nothing else but God. We are all part of a great being. What is that called? Pantheism. That's exactly what it is. He says, my purpose is to show man that he is to know that man is God. How do they do that? How do you become God? How do you God? Well, in transcendental meditation, you have to empty your mind and visualize it. Overall, the global transformation and all of these different things. There's no sin, no payment for sin, nothing needed. Salvation in the New Age movement is not redemption. It's reunification with God. It's overcoming karma. Or they'd say it this way. It's overcoming bad karma. Because the karma is that you're just going through and you're in this body now, but you're all part of the universe and you're God. And the more you realize that when you do die, because of the fact that you've recognized you're God and you're good and all these things, you'll come back as something else. Shirley MacLaine says, if we do good in this life, the next life will be easier. Spengler says, the work of coming wholeness is actually accomplished by Lucifer. He said, Lucifer is a good angel. He says, Lucifer is a reflection of Christ. Lucifer brings us wholeness. Lucifer works in each of us to bring us to wholeness. I'll guarantee you, Lucifer's working in all that. He sure is. But he's not bringing wholeness to mankind. He's pulling mankind away. Now, let's stop for a minute. Let's talk about number two here, I think, is... Go ahead and go to the next thing. Let's talk about some New Age movements, some leaders and organizations. Eckhart Tolle is kind of the famous one now because of Oprah. Scientology is famous now because of some of the movie stars and all those people connected with it. And then Deepak Chopra, which is the guy that I just quoted from this magazine, he's become famous as sort of the meditation guru of the United States. That's sort of the big three, and they all tie together. Let's talk about Eckhart Tolle just for a little bit, okay? And he has this spiritualization, and he's with Oprah. Oprah, actually, they've taken some of his studies, and they're putting them online, and Oprah's behind them, and she's trying to promote them. She's had him on her show a number of times, and she believes that he's the answer to everything. And Let me just read you some things here. I just want to do this. Over 2 million people from 139 countries have participated. Now, listen to this. 2 million, 139 countries have participated with Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart Tolle in the live web-based seminar covering each chapter of Tolle's recent book entitled A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. Awakening to what? What does he think you're going to awaken to? That you're what? That you're God. That's what it all boils down to. Many churchgoers have expressed confusion of whether a new earth is comparable with Christianity. The answer is no. It is not consistent. And he goes, the writer of this little article says, the underlying premise is that all material things result from a universal immaterial life force expressing itself in a material form. What is that? The whole universe. Everything is God. Humans are a part of this expression. However, we've evolved to a point where we have the potential to become aware of our oneness with the universal life force. We got to the point where we can know that there's something more and we can just kind of connect with it. The purpose of all mankind is to become aware that being is an expression of the one life force. He goes on to say that, according to Eckhart Tolle, the majority of the people are unconscious and unaware of this source. And so every human being has this self-image, which is conditioned by the past, which we've got to deal with what's called the body pain. And so our ego and our body pain are trying to keep us from being aware of the fact that we're all God and connected. Here's one of his points, and he says, this is one, there's a little warning. He says, one of the reasons for writing this article and to people being really aware of Eckhart Tolle is that it has been accepted by some Christians because that he quotes from Jesus and some other places in the Bible. And so it's sprinkled with the Bible throughout the book. And so some people think, well, he's talking about Christianity. Like so many false teachers, he attempts to make Jesus support his worldview. And then he says, here's one of the issues. Tolle has found a powerful proponent in Oprah Winfrey who endorses his first book, The Power of Now. And when she did, it went to the top of the New York's best-selling list. Oprah is enthusiastically promoting a new earth through her web seminar, calling it the most exciting thing she has ever done. Here's some of the things that they believe. Each being has its beingness. It's a temporary form from its origin, which was a formless one-life force. Like all life forces, we have a temporary manifestation of this consciousness. Consequently, we are all God. The nature of man. According to Tolle, humans are evolved material manifestations of the spiritual life force. Salvation. In Tolle's worldview, humans are not born spiritually dead, but rather spiritually unconscious. Our real self cannot be separated from God because our real self is God. He states you don't become good by trying to be good any more than trying to be God by, you know, trying to be like God by trying to be like God. You already are God. For Tolle, Jesus was an enlightened human. He joined Buddha and a few others in trying to communicate this concept to people. Eckhart Tolle says that Jesus was trying to tell people that there's a big life force out there and we can all connect to it. In his conclusion, a new earth is not so new after all. It's just another presentation of Eastern mysticism with a focus on separating your identity from your ego. Now, as I said earlier, that's what you've got. There's nothing new about any of the things that Eckhart Tolle is doing or Oprah. Here's an article from Christianity Today. Calling nothing new, and he's talking about Oprah and Eckhart Tolle, and he says, Tolle claims that there is no actual you. Pulling pages from Buddhism, Tolle says that human self is an illusion. In his book, The Power of Now, he says it's tragic because we projected a self-awareness where there really was none. Tolle even tries to argue that Jesus affirmed this view when he told disciples to deny themselves. Tolle says, the truth is inseparable from who you are. You're the truth. If you look for it somewhere else, you'll be deceived. Jesus tried to convey this when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the truth. You're the truth. Everybody's the truth. We all got truth. All God's children got truth, right? This is from his website, Eckhart Tolle's website. A little bitty writing. I may have to take my glasses off. To make the journey into the power of now, we will need to leave our analytical mind and its false created self, the ego, behind. From the beginning of chapter 1, we move rapidly into a significantly higher attitude where one breathes a higher air, the air of spirituality. That's how he starts his stuff. With that in mind, you have seen this. I just want you to see how much Oprah has brought into this, how much Eckhart Tolle has brought into this. Can you show that one now, the one on? Yeah, there it is. Okay.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live. That's and right. That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being.
You please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides,
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
I even bring him up in this whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way. There is one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with a
million
people.
Because you say there isn't.
Today, she has turned her millions of adoring fans over to New Age doctrine. Christians are letting this into their homes and are being deceived.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to week number 3 of our New Earth web class. And again, I thank you, Eckhart Tolle, thank you for joining us as we bring students and seekers together to discuss our latest book club selection, Eckhart Tolle's A New
Earth. We did something last week that was unprecedented. You said it's never been done before on television, where you just sit there in silence. I thought a lot of people responded to the sense of connection from that. So you want to do that again?
Yes.
Let's do that again.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
so you're going to lead us in silence.
And okay. Simply become aware that you are breathing. The air flows in and out, and you feel yourself breathing. Air flows in and out of the body.
In reading books such as Tolle's, it's really opened my eyes up to a new way of thinking, a new form of spirituality that doesn't always align with the teachings of Christianity. So my question is to you, Oprah, how have you reconciled these spiritual teachings with your Christian beliefs?
I've reconciled it because I was able to open my mind about the absolute indescribable hugeness of that which we call God. I took God out of the box because I grew up in the Baptist church and there were, you know, rules and, you know, belief systems and doctrine. And I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s, and I was going to this church where you had to get there at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, or you couldn't get a seat, and a very charismatic minister, and everybody was just, you know, into the sermon. And this great minister was preaching about how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, and the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And I was, you know, caught up in the rapture of that moment until he said jealous. And something struck me, and I was like, I think about 27 or 28. I was thinking, God is all, God is omnipresent, God is all, and God's also jealous, God is jealous of me. And something about that didn't feel right in my spirit, because I believe that God is love, and that God is in all things. And so that's when the search for something more than doctrine started to stir within me. And I love this quote that Eckhart has. This is one of my favorite quotes in chapter 1, where he says, "Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that you had to believe in and worship as my God or our God."
Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." That means you are the consciousness in which the world appears, is seen.
So you believe what happens to us at death when the body dies? You don't have a belief.
I don't give it any thought.
You don't. God, in the essence of all consciousness, isn't something to believe. God is.
Yes.
God is. And God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience.
That's right.
And if your religion is a believing experience, if God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God.
No.
That's what...
Yeah!
Turn it off. Do you see the fallacies? You see what she's being taught? You see what she's bought into? Because one time in a church service, when the Bible says the Lord your God is a jealous God, meaning that he doesn't want anything but you to put your faith and worship in him, she took that to mean as a human way that, oh, God's a petty God who gets around and gets jealous because I got something he doesn't have. And she began to reject the truth that she'd been taught. And then she got with this guy who says, no, God is not what you believe. God is just what you feel. And that Oprah says, I believe God is in everything. What is that? It's pantheism. My heart breaks for her. I believe, I had read things about her that she had trusted Christ when she was younger. So I hope and pray that she is a believer in Jesus Christ. She is confused. She is leading other people astray. And when she stands before her Savior one day, she will be greatly embarrassed. Greatly embarrassed, and she will be ashamed at his coming if she has trusted in Christ as Savior. Eckhart Tolle, if you saw what he kind of said, what about afterlife? I give it what? I give it no thought, because what's supposed to happen to him in afterlife? He just becomes part of the universe. Isn't that, that's a great system, isn't it? But you kept hearing her say, it's not what you believe. It's not doctrines. It's not, we'd say, truth. It's just what you feel. And that's what New Age really is. Now, is that the second bell already rang, or was that just the first? That was the second already? Oh, no. Yes.
Oprah's the same age as my daughter. And when she was in her 40s, she was still saying that Jesus was God's son.
Talking about this lady,
yeah,
Oprah.
She was in her 20s. She didn't get that. She got that just in the last few years.
Well, I think she changed a lot. I think she's telling us at 26, she began to realize something wasn't what she wanted. And see, a lot of times people do that. When God is not what they want to change God.
When it's too restrictive.
Or whatever. Yeah, whether it's too
restrictive. She said on her show that she had, because she's a black lady, mm-hmm. that because of God and his son, he had enabled her to get a good education. She used to witness for the Lord, and now she's not.
Well, definitely, now she's not. I brought the book a couple of weeks ago, his two books, and here's the problem. Once Oprah connected with him and she put him on her shows, because any book she puts on the Oprah Book Club goes to the number one because she has that kind of influence. I don't understand her influence in the world. I don't understand it. I don't know what people find so attractive about her. She's very limited in her understanding of a lot of basic truths. And she's a sweet lady, but she's, you know. So for some reason, if she picks Eckhart Tolle to be her man, then he is going to be world famous and a lot of people are going to follow it, and even Christians. You noticed in that conflict that one lady was saying Jesus is the only way, and Oprah almost wouldn't let her get it in. How can there only be one? You can't say there's only one way. You may call him God or you may call him this. And then one little lady said, it's Jesus. And they, you know, she just said, no, it's not that way. So it just shows you how people can change.
But Satan
takes over. No doubt. Instead of being used for the power of Jesus Christ, it's being used for something else. Okay, that was second bell? I'm sorry. Okay, here's what we'll do. Next week, I got a video on Scientology, too. I think you're going to like this one. So come back next week. We'll see L. Ron Hubbard. We'll see what they actually believe. And we'll see how that ties together. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for these truths. Help us, Lord, to see the truth and see how people move away from the truth. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us, Lord. Thank you for what we believe is true and see it and know it and understand it and make application. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.